Johnny, it's been about a dozen albums that you've recorded. Does it get any easier now as it goes on?
Easier? Well, I've spent more time on this album than I ever spent on an album. I guess you could say on one level this was a more difficult album. I guess it was because I was searching for a sound that would carry through the jazz aspects of my music and incorporate some of the folk ideas. There's a couple of things on this that are reminiscent of folkier things, and rock and roll. Now, to find personnel that can play both jazz and rock and roll is really a search, you know. I met a man on a film project in Canada, and he asked me how my project was going at that time, and I began to tell him, and he suddenly stopped me, and he said, Joan, he said, keep up the divine dissatisfaction, but don't worry. It's... Well, I still do worry, you know, but a lot of the dissatisfaction is healthy and produces, it drives you on to improve the thing. I've been fretting a lot over this project, but every little bit of fretting finally does stabilize itself. If I am dissatisfied with the version, we recut it, we try different personnel. Towards the end of this project, I found the right chemistry, the right players who enjoyed each other's playing, and, you know, we just all worked very well together.
How long have you been working on it?
About a year now. It's the longest I've ever worked on an album.
You've written it, parts of it, I gather, in all over the world, in Jamaica, and presumably when you're at home in Canada as well as here. And you've carried it around your head in a lot of different places.
It's a portable job, yeah.
Does it have a theme, if you like? Does a constant theme that runs through the whole album?
The theme is the reoccurring dream, in a way. Again, it's kind of an exploration of what love is. There's one song called Love, which is from Corinthians. The whole album is, again, a discourse on love, like why people run from it, why people are drawn to it. Some of it is very present tense. Yes, I do, I love you. You know, it's very present tense, like just a statement. And... a lot of it is skirting around the perimeters of why love is such a difficult and evasive thing, even though we're obsessed with it, you know.
That's been a theme, too, in a lot of your other albums.
Oh, yeah, this is my theme. We only get one song. We just get one.
But is there one aspect, too, do you think, of it, which is different, say, from Hissing of Summer Lawns or Don Juan or any of the other albums in the more recent past?
I think it's more balanced, in a way. I think I'm more balanced.
Do you think that your fans who recoiled a little at the jazz influence of recent albums will be pleased that it isn't as pervasive as this one?
Well, there still is jazz present, but even the way I have presented the jazz, it's less abstract than the Mingus album, certainly because I've reestablished the rhythm track. You know, with the Mingus album, at that point I was so... down on four beats to the bar, the measuring, the digital counting of it, that I instructed the players to avoid the beat almost. And so we were all just kind of flying, and the structure was very nebulous. It was total improvisation. Whereas here, I think this is easier to comprehend, even the jazz.
You consistently seem to be changing and developing your voice, going right back to the first album. There's obviously incredible range and change that's taken place. Is this something, do you think, that's going to continue in the immediate future?
Well, the more I smoke, the more the high end will go, and the more the low end will increase. It changes, you know, your phrasing changes, you know, just maturing, you know, chronologically changes voices. Although when I sing in a certain range, I still sound like I'm about 17 and am on helium.
But your voices and the tone and the sense of what you've been singing over the years has very much reflected what's been happening in the outside world, hasn't it?
I know that during the apathy of a certain period of the 70s, I can hear that fatigue in my own singing. You know, I mean, you do catch the feel. I'm a very sensitive, thin-skinned person, so I'm kind of like an antenna. If there is a prevailing feeling around me, then certainly that... I reflect that, you know.
It's very strong, I mean, up feeling to it in comparison to some of the earlier works.
Uh, There's, you know, the Nordic melancholy is still winding its way through it, you know. But, yeah, it there's a lot more joy, I think, in this album than some of the early albums had that feeling. So I think I'm going into my second childhood now.
Any particular track would amplify that?
Yes, I do. I love ya. Underneath the Streetlight, for sure. That is really fun to sing. You're So Square, Baby, I Don't Care. From Rock Around the Clock, that's got a lot of fun to it. The Cool is like light. It's very coolly fun. You know, it's kind of, what would you call it? Tongue-in-cheek, I guess. And stiff upper lip. It's the stiff upper lip formula.
The English should like that one.
The English should like this one. Be Cool. It's the American equivalent of that. There's a song you didn't hear yet called Chinese Cafe, which is a bit of nostalgia. It's like a reflection back to the days when you would hang around a certain cafe and drop your dimes in the jukebox and put on something schmaltzy and dream into your Coca-Cola, you know.
Nowadays you just dream into your Coke. But
Nowadays you just dream into your Coke. Let's see what else is on there. There's one called You Dream Flat Tires.
Intriguing title.
It's fun. It's like a rock shuffle.
Where did it come from?
You Dream Flat Tires? That's too personal. No, it's a story about a character who is traumatized by the very existence of the real thing. It's the real thing. You know, searching for the real thing and coming across it goes into catatonia. And he has a kind of a dream. He puts on the brakes. Actually, he just blows a tire. He can't handle it. So that's basically what that's about. Fear of loving. A lot of the album has that as a reoccurring theme. What love is, what love isn't. You know, my favorite themes. What is it? What isn't it? Yeah, I think it's inexhaustible, isn't it? You could beat around that one for many lifetimes.
Well, let's hope she continues to do just that. The remarkable Joni Mitchell, who was talking to me at Los Angeles at the time of making the album, While Things Run Fast. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and that also you're interested in a special competition organised by CBS Records. If you can answer the following 6 questions correctly, you've got a chance to win as a first prize a personally signed copy of Joni's album, While Things Run Fast, plus a personally signed fine art print of the original artwork to the sleeve of that album. And even if you don't win the first prize, you've got a chance to win one of 100 copies of those fine art prints, also personally signed. And the questions are as follows. Question 1. What is Joni Mitchell's nationality? Question 2. What's the title of Joni's only British chart single to date? Question 3. Joni Mitchell appeared in England in front of 72,000 fans at Wembley with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Was that in 1970, 1972 or in 1974? Question 4. Who had the original hit single Baby I Don't Care? Question 5. As the composer of Both Sides Now, Joni's had many other artists cover that song, but which artists had the biggest chart success with it in Britain? And finally, question 6. Which famous singer of soul classics, such as Three Times a Lady and Truly, can be heard on Joni's new album, While Things Run Fast, on backup vocals? Send your answers to EPA Marketing Department, CBS Records, 17 to 19 Soho Square, London, W1V 6HE. Clearly mark them, Joni Mitchell competition. Good luck to you. And remember that closing date, the 30th of April.